The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. He's always in the upper left. It's Professor Dave Chow.
Oh, pleasure to be here, as always.
I was thinking that it seems every time I introduce Dan first, he's taken a sip of something or a bite of something, and I couldn't tell whether you were dining with us today, Dave.
No, I'm drinking with you guys today, that's all.
Oh.
Dr. Pepper, water, staying hydrated.
That's a good thing.
It's the 7-Eleven, 4 o'clock in the morning run, too, so.
That's right. You mentioned, perhaps I'm not supposed to say on the air, but you've been up for quite some time.
Yes, I have. It's my lot in life. It's par for the course. It's part of my job.
You constitute like the worst shift of the neighborhood watch. If you're going out to 7-Eleven, you got to be like, you know, walking through the neighborhood.
I mean, honestly, Matt, 12 Mile was barren at 4 o'clock in the morning.
I would guess.
Well, yeah, because normal people are sleeping at 4 in the morning.
Hold on. Wait a minute. Look at our group. Do any of us look normal to you, Beth?
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, come on, Beth. Come on. Are we normal?
Well, looks are a different question entirely.
That's lifestyle, well, anyway.
Exactly. Professor Stephen Manning is here with us today. And boy, oh boy, Stephen, you look relaxed, man.
I am relaxed.
Perfect.
Why wouldn't I be relaxed?
I am not doubting your relaxation, considering my running joke for the whole week is, this last week was the third time we tried to start this semester. The student behavior in person is out of sync with their preparation and where we expect them to be. I've only heard it from 10 different people this week now. So Stephen is very happy to be missing essentially the worst time in the modern era to be in education.
But there's a downside to not being there. My experience is once you retire, you almost immediately become a complete non-person. Unbelievable.
Wait till August rolls around. You'll be gearing up for the academic calendar. It took me forever to get off that treadmill.
Well, I'm off that. And hopefully getting the W-2 after 3 weeks. So prepare yourself. If any of you are getting close to retirement at some point, prepare yourself. It's like a full-time job in and of itself.
Unbelievable.
So, I'll buy that.
Thanks for the important safety tip, Stephen.
I'm not urging that you work as late as you possibly can either, but it's a catch-22, really.
It is a catch-22, yes. Yeah. You know, we're being favored today by the presence of Professor Jason Roach, our executive producer. We're so happy to have you here with us today, Jason.
Thank you. I'm really glad to be back. It's not every Friday I get a little time off, but today I do.
Well, it's nice to have a little bit of time off. I just talked to an old friend who essentially for the first time since the pandemic started, so 2 years, the kids are taken care of. They're off doing something for the weekend. And she mentioned to me, I'm actually scared to death. Like the house is so quiet. And I'm like, I think you may have to relearn how wonderful that is. Ay, ay, ay. Once you've lived with something so long, as we just heard from Stephen, you know, it's sometimes hard to say goodbye, or sometimes easier.
Mm-hmm.
Professor Beth Oljar is here with us today and just had, I'm not saying that you were telling your stories about your lecture, Beth, from the perspective of this last week, but more like an overarching laptops and not actually taking notes.
I mean, the student who asked me this commutes from Canada. Right. And of course, there's this whole weird trucker thing going on. So, I mean, I actually had some sympathy with the request. I just wasn't sure how to do it. So, as usual, I will ask Russ to bail me out.
You're not the only professor at Detroit Mercy that says those exact words in that order. So, yeah.
I'm a softie.
Yeah. Well, you know, what's interesting is that there needs to be a logical inflection point. Like I want to do everything that I want to do to help the students, but that means I don't think I can wait till the middle of the semester to suddenly start an attendance policy. And even though this is hot off the presses, we have two majorly populated counties in the Detroit area who will be turning off their mask mandates for K-12 over the next couple weeks. So the writing's on the wall. All I need to tell you folks is the university plumber was turning back on the water fountains in our building this afternoon. So it's coming before the end of the semester. And
we're not going to have to wear masks anymore?
It's a good question. But February 28 for Oakland County proper, no longer required K-12. So you can sort of see the writing on the wall just a little bit.
Because those K95 ones, or the N95 ones that I got, are really uncomfortable. Mm. I mean, on my nose, they sit right on the part of my nose that was broken a long time ago. So yeah, and I'm sweaty, and how much more can I vent about?
I don't know. We get
teaching conditions.
We get it.
I'm just whinging.
Folks, this is a program. You can send us questions regarding anything. If you stump the panel, you win a prize. You can send us the questions in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmerced.edu. Find us on the Facebook or perhaps the Instagram, or ask your favorite smart speaker to play Ask the Professor at University of Detroit Mercy. Little warm-up questions here. We see what we can do with these. This is kind of cool. Brian Stoll of Elmira, New York sends us, "Hey profs, let's talk airport codes. Where in the world are these places? Let's say you're flying high at 75% correct. Hang on and hope your luggage doesn't get lost and that you're not able to get reimbursed for an unused ticket, or that there isn't a complete collapse of the airline industry." I added that last part.
Oh, okay. Oh.
Some softballs to get us going. Whose airport code is NYC?
New York City.
Pretty good. Yeah. Actually, Brian has these sorted into three different codes. We have, these are American and international cities. Airport code represents the name in English, and then a specific airport code for a specifically named airport. Technically, there is a terminal at Detroit Wayne County that's called the McNamara Terminal. It's like things like that. Okay. So let's start with city codes. Who is MOW?
MOW? It's not MDW, you know, like Midway?
No, it's MOW, Mo.
Moscow?
It's Moscow. Moscow, good. Russia. Yes, absolutely.
I can't remember, is it Missouri? West something. Okay.
It's like Mao, right?
I should have known that. I've landed there. The worst security that you could imagine.
Oh.
Terrifying.
I can imagine some pretty bad security.
Just awful.
It's a little bit better than the Ukrainian security, I bet.
They're all just bullies.
Well, yeah.
And here's your border agent, Nelson Muntz.
Rome. Yeah.
How about ROM?
Romania?
Oh, we need to get to city here.
Rome?
Yeah, it's Rome.
Rome. Okay. Yeah.
I'm like, just make a 4-character airport code at that point. You're almost there. You got one letter to go, for Pete's sake.
Who decides that they have to be 3? Like, did airlines get together and decide that? Or?
Yeah, I don't know.
The FAA, maybe?
No, it's got to be something bigger than the FAA. It's international.
Oh, for international, yeah.
Well, it is possible that it was one of them, like, really good American ideas that got shared across the world, too. So, you know, anything's possible.
Like, we own the moon. So.
Yeah, we own the moon. Exactly. Speaking of international, how about SEL? A large number of Detroit Mercy students these last couple of years probably flying out of this airport to come to Detroit.
SEL.
Shanghai?
Not Shanghai.
Seoul, Korea?
It's Seoul, Korea. Seoul's airport is okay. SEL. Yes.
I was waiting for SOL, but yeah. Oh, wait, no, that's a bad Lions joke, right, Jason?
Yeah, I was about to say.
Absolutely.
How about the obvious one that I feel like just everybody knows, and we'll juxtapose it just a little bit. LAX?
LA, like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But what's PDX?
Portland.
Yeah, it's Portland. There you go. Very good. And to cap off our N's and X series, PHX.
Phoenix.
Okay, let's shift gears. Airport codes represents the English name. So think of what that city name would be. And I believe, yes, all of these are international. GVA sounds like a good place to go.
Geneva.
Geneva, Switzerland. Yes, that's absolutely right. I just saw the Swiss kick some butt in curling the other night there. That's the real deal right there. Wow.
And we don't have Dan here to talk about curling.
I know.
Right in the middle of the
I watched my Canadian team lose by a millimeter, too.
Oh. They take
Nathan,
that stuff
Nathan Chen won the one gold for the U.S., though, for men's figures. I'm cool. sure you and Leslie watched it.
Absolutely.
Right?
Well, you know, Leslie did.
No, you watched it begrudgingly, right?
You know how heavy those things are?
Oh, they're heavy.
Uh-huh. Like what?
80 pounds.
You know how heavy they are?
Yeah, 42
pounds. It's like 80 pounds.
How heavy, what, curling stones?
70 pounds, yeah.
Oh, 42.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I read there were 70.
Maybe if you carry two of them.
No, that must be the Canadian.
No, it's Detroit Curling Club.
It's a metric system thing.
I've curled with Dan before, so I mean,
I love it. I love it.
Don't forget, there's also Kathy Bush inscribed stone there too. So
that's right. That's right.
Neat.
You've never seen that, Beth?
At Detroit Curling Club, there's a stone.
Yeah, I've taken a picture of it.
Oh, cool.
I'll send you a picture.
Yeah.
How about PRG, professors? PRG, International.
Prague?
In English. Yeah, it's Prague.
Oh, okay.
How about VCE?
Venice.
Venice, Italy. Yes. And just for bookend's sake, FLR?
Florence, Italy.
Let's leave Italy and go to our last one on the airport codes represent the English name list, VIE.
Vienna,
Austria. Ah, yes, very good.
Place of sausages.
Yes. So now the only way you're going to be able to, you know, get this one is by thinking very specific with regard to the airport. So airports sometimes have names. The very interestingly named ORD.
Midway?
Mm-mm. No, that's O'Hare.
So O'Hare,
yes. I knew it was one of the Chicago ones. That's right. It's MDW for Midway.
Yes. Yep. ORD is named after Orchard Field, which was the original name of the airport, considering it was built in the middle of a tree orchard. So
I knew it was one of those places I flew to far too much. That's all.
Mm-hmm. How about LHR?
Hartsfield in Atlanta? No. Mm-hmm. HR.
This one's international.
Oh.
London Heathrow?
Yeah, it's Heathrow.
Absolutely.
Good one.
Because Gatwick would be like GAT or something, or GTW. Right. Okay.
And a similar portion of the world, although not exactly the same, CDG. Don't think too hard.
Charles de Gaulle.
It's Paris. De Gaulle Airport, yes. Charles de Gaulle Airport. That's in Paris.
Charles de Gaulle for mm-hmm. the regulars, right?
Mm-hmm. Not one that is too frequented, except for people who live in that area and commute, IAD. This is out east in the States.
IAD.
Ithaca? No.
IAD.
It's a weird one. It's a weird one.
DTAC?
Iowa, Des Moines? No. Mm-hmm.
These are initials of someone it's named after, right? Not the city?
It's close to that. It's close to that. I think that what happens, Jason, we're getting there with a bunch of these, is you do run out of letters. I mean, there's only a finite number of combinations that you can figure out. So you know what that is? That's Dulles in Washington. That's the best they could do.
Yeesh. International Airport Dulles?
Yeah, probably.
Last name first name last.
Okay, all right.
I'm looking in a Beth direction when I say S-E-A.
SeaTac.
That's SeaTac, Seattle Tacoma. That's right.
One of my favorite airports.
I love how Brian put SeaTac in parentheses, Beth, knowing full well you would jump on that.
Well, the Portland airport is actually pretty. I mean, it's an airport that it doesn't strike you when you're in it as being either just ugly or this big, endless, depressing space full of, you know, different things. It's actually reasonably pleasant.
It's not the Sea of Humanity. That's all.
Right. Whew, this is a tough one. I mean, you're either going to, we're in know it or you don't kind of territory. And of course, there's a story, but they definitely were running out when they gave this airport YYZ.
Oh, Toronto, eh?
It's Toronto. Yeah, that's Toronto.
Ah. Yeah, because I know the Windsor and Toronto starts with a Y. That's all.
All Canadian airports start with a Y.
I think it's for Yonge Street and Zamboni.
So you probably only get one guess, but I'll just jump right over it here. Also a great Rush song, Brian says, but Calgary is YYC. So, sure. Mm-hmm. Last, but most certainly not least, just to see if we're paying attention. How about Z? Shall I say Z? ZQN.
Quebec? No. QN.
Is it in the States?
Queensland?
This is, you know what it is? It's well, I blew it. I was going too fast. Oh. It's not Queensland. It's actually Queenstown, New Zealand, where the Z comes from.
Okay. Yeah. So,
nice work on those. It's a, I think that IAD, that's a curveball right there. Like, who would have guessed something like that? But
Matt, didn't we get one a couple of weeks ago of the one in Antarctica?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's four letters.
Yeah, something like that. It's named like the John Doe Airport or something like that.
Yeah, the Penguinarium Runway or something like that.
Penguinarium. I love it.
You're listening to Ask the Professor from University of Detroit Mercy. We're grateful to those listeners who submitted questions for today's show, and we welcome your questions at atp@udmercy.edu. Now, let's return to our host, Matt Mayo, with more questions for the panel.
Professors, I've got another set of questions here, similarly short, but tons of fun. Dear professors, I swore to myself I'd finally get a set of questions to you by the end of this year, and by the time I went to bed tonight. Years ago, I sent in a small set of questions on diner lingo, which I thought were well received. Yeah, we had a lot of fun with that.
Definitely.
I remember that.
I think about that one a lot.
As a person who loves language, and we hear all sorts out here in the great world of Las Vegas, I've decided to send you a new set on basically, and boy, just couldn't be better timed. How about trucker lingo? Because this is something I grew up around.
I thought it was going to be gambling or something.
That would have made sense too, right?
Since Vegas, but okay.
So my family had relatives who were long haulers and recall hearing a lot of that language used frequently and marveled at the inventiveness. Below are 15 words that have been used over the airwaves. Regards and always, Viva Las Vegas, Michelle Horner. Thanks for sending these questions, Michelle.
God bless long haul truckers. That still is the way we move most food around the country, as far as I know.
That's right. We have the railroad network, but since it hasn't been updated in like 75 years, we can't use it.
Yeah, I mean, Matt, have you seen that meme where they compare like the bullet train in Japan, the maglev trains in China, all over the world, and then here's America. You know, we look like a bad Lionel set, you know? I mean,
yeah.
I always seem to get caught stuck with that train that crosses 9 Mile.
Oh. Yep.
Like every time.
I will warn the professors and our listeners that a few of these are creative in edging to the point of not necessarily vulgarity, but just creativeness. So keep an open mind and we'll have some fun.
Wait a minute. You just got Michael Jason's thumb hovering over the red button to dump us again.
How about Miss Piggy?
Ham.
Female police officer?
It's a female police officer, yeah.
Oh, trucking. Sorry. I just, for some reason, thought we were on.
Oh, jeez.
Because I'm a doofus.
No, that's what.
Listeners, whatever you do, don't mix your diner and your trucker lingo.
Things you can say to a trucker, but you can't say to a police officer, right?
How about the creatively named, because they had nicknames for places, too. What's Disney Town?
L.A.
Anaheim.
Yeah, it says Anaheim here. We're all in the same playground here. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Very cute. Very cute. Go-go girls. What are go-go girls?
Energy drinks.
No.
Waitresses in diners.
No, you're going to see this when you're out on the road.
Oh.
I will.
Go-go girls.
Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. What stretch of road do you think I'm driving on?
We actually don't see this too much on the Michigan roads, but you do see it if you're driving around the Midwest.
Are those the mud flaps that have women on them on the trucks?
No, that's a good guess. That's a good guess.
which are so sexist.
they are. No, Go-Go Girls is a livestock hauler. So it's something full of cattle, basically. Yeah. Mostly cows. Speaking of the barnyard references, what's a chicken coop to a trucker?
Chicken coop. Another live hauler kind of thing? Full of chickens?
No, this is something that's important to a trucker because they have to do it every once in a while they're out hauling.
Oh, is it a way station?
It's a way station, yeah. So a chicken coop is like a small house, right? And they always have that little hut, yeah. And you got to go over it and get weighed and everything. So, yeah.
Right.
Yep. How about, I love this one, rhymes with fun. This is a specific place up north that's their nickname for, rhymes with fun.
Rhymes with fun.
I'm looking in a Dave Chow direction on this one.
What, is this a Canadian city?
Canadian province.
Saskatchewan?
It's the nickname for Saskatchewan, yeah. Rhymes with fun. I think that's pretty good.
I'm like, whoa.
Oh, man.
Oh, jeez.
You really got to wonder how long people had been on the road when they came up with these.
You wonder if the exhaust systems are kicking back into the cab.
Exactly.
How about, don't think too hard. We heard Miss Piggy, but what about a piggy bank?
ATM?
It's a toll place.
An armored truck?
It's an armored truck. See, Jason got Steven, and then we got Beth. We worked our way through the logic of it. Yeah.
We circled it like a drain. Yep.
Oh. And similarly, although I got to say, from the point that I was growing up, we just don't see that much of these anymore. We see way more prime trucks. What do you think a Buster Brown is?
UPS truck.
UPS. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. All brown.
Yep.
Okay, got you. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Very interesting. Where's Mara when we need her? What's a thermos bottle? There's your hint. Mara might get this if we had thermos bottle.
Refrigerated truck?
Milk truck?
Again, both Jason and Steven getting really close. You know, it's a chemical hauler because they're always that specific shape.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to say a truck full of ballerinas? I mean, like what?
Because, of course, in the early CB days, if you actually paid attention to all the history, they actually couldn't swear over the airwaves. They said that somebody is on my donkey. What does that mean when someone's on your donkey?
Tailgating.
On your tuchus?
Or on your tail.
Yeah, on your tail. Tailgating, yeah. A couple more here, profs. We're definitely going into the sublime place. This has nothing to do with law enforcement, but will be our third pig reference. What's a pigtail? You don't have to actually think too hard about this one either. If you picture the last time you were on the open road and just kind of looking around.
Matt, you're assuming we're thinking hard. We're not.
I'm so sorry. So very sorry.
A pigtail.
What's a pigtail? I mean, picture a pigtail. That will help.
Something curly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Something hanging out of the window with a truck.
I mean, again, Stephen and Jason got to like put it together here. So, the electrical connection between the trailer and the truck is that curly long cord in between so it can be springy. So that's a pigtail. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay. Okay. All right. Okay. All right.
I'm interested to see with this last one what you're going to do with it because I laughed out loud when I first read it. What's a gumball machine? What's a gumball machine?
Drive-through restaurant.
It's a good guess.
But wrong.
It's not an actual gumball machine.
It's a something big and round.
It's not big and round, but it might look like it's translucent with a bunch of things on the inside.
Translucent things inside.
Oh, I don't know what it is. Probably because I'm looking at the correct responses. I thought this one was really cute.
Like a silo or something like that?
I mean, no. A gumball machine is a cop car when the flashers are on because it looks like there's gum rotating on the inside. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, the dome light, the old school dome light.
Exactly, exactly.
Because right about now, all the cops in our area have gone to those little real slim ones that kind of look like a luggage rack now.
Yeah.
Sneaky devils that they are.
I love the LED cop car lights that it's like three blocks away. But if I peer between my blinds, it's like the light ray pierces my eyeball from that distance. They're very powerful. Very, very powerful.
Yes, they are. Far too powerful.
Professors, we have our classic list of imponderables here. And I think that it's totally reasonable for me to ask you what your favorite something is. We just need to take a quick look. Thanks, of course, as always, to Frank and the Burroughs family for sending us. We branch off of something we were speaking about a little earlier. What is your favorite form of travel? There's only a certain number of responses, of course, but what's your favorite?
Does horseback count?
I believe it does. Absolutely.
I like riding horses.
That's cool.
But not as a general means of travel because it's uncomfortable, but I guess driving.
Sure.
Everything changes when you have little kids.
Yes.
I used to love to fly.
But now it's a nightmare, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
There was an internet video a couple weeks ago of someone getting on a plane with a tiny little baby. And then what they did is they circled the faces of every other person on the plane watching this baby board. And it was really brutal. They were all like, oh, you know.
Okay, Beth, you might be able to relate to this. One of my favorite forms of travel is auto ferry.
Oh, sure.
In the Pacific Northwest, between like Vancouver, Victoria, all those, because you pull up in your car, you step out, you go up to the upper deck, you just watch the world go by for however long it takes to get there. So auto ferry.
Nice. Yeah. Nice.
And usually out there, the views are absolutely amazing. I can't tell you how many whales, orcas, and things like that we've seen. The last time we were out there, when the captain, especially if they see like, you know, a small pod of orca, I'm just waiting for the entire ship just to like list over as everybody rushes to one side of the boat, you know? So
nice. Steven, what about you?
I don't know. I enjoy driving. I've done a lot of it. Does tobogganing count?
Of course it does.
I like tobogganing.
That's cool.
Train travel's not that bad.
Yeah, if you got the right trip to make, that's a good thing. Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah.
I was going to take my variation on that and fond memories of visiting my dad when he worked at the glass house at Ford Motor and taking the monorail to Fairlane in Dearborn. That was tons of fun, even if it was only 30 seconds long.
Between the Hyatt and Fairlane?
Exactly.
The monorail in Seattle is equally fun and equally a train to nowhere. So,
and the people mover too.
So. Oh, in Detroit, yeah.
I was waiting for someone to say the people mover.
In conclusion, mono means one and rail means rail. The end.
The new thing they've got with the Q thing.
The Q line.
Yeah, the Q line.
Doesn't do it for me. For the amount of money that they put into it, it's like, you know, it doesn't help, you know, alleviate traffic congestion down there.
No, it's true.
But I still remember when the Q line, you know, the first week they actually had, I think it was a Free Press did an article where they actually had runners on foot, people on bikes, people in a car, and people catching the Q line to see who could go from West Grand Boulevard down to Jefferson. I think, don't quote me, but I think the people on bike actually got there faster than the Q line.
Well, there has to be something charming about riding the rail then to get people to do it.
Now I want to go ride a horse. You made me think about horseback riding, but I'm not on the beach, which is really the best place to do it. So,
yes, that's true. I'm afraid we're going to have to let that visual sink in because the time has come to say goodbye, Dave.
See ya.
Steven.
Bye.
Jason.
Adios.
And Beth.
Bye.
And now these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is produced and directed by Michael Jason and Brian Masonville, and our executive producer is Professor Jason Roach. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.